If you like scary stories, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Maniac on the Loose Scary Stories Podcast. Sit back and relax. Keep your arms and legs inside the vehicle at all times, and enjoy the ride. Halloween Massacre. Springfield, Tennessee is a quiet, unassuming town north of Nashville. Its moniker is Home of the World's Finest Dark-Fired Tobacco. On Halloween night in 1975, the humble tobacco town became famous for something horrific. It is now known as the town of the Halloween Massacre. It was a chilly Friday night. A large historic house on Fifth Avenue West was having a Halloween costume party. Dozens of people attended, but many would never leave the house alive. It was reported that a large man in a black mask entered the home. Nobody knew who he was. Evidently, the man barricaded the doors to the house so that nobody could escape, and the slaughter ensued. The following are eyewitness accounts from some of the survivors who attended the Halloween Massacre. George Mitchell, dressed as a cowboy. The invitation to the Halloween costume party said 7 p.m. until who knows, so I got there promptly at 7. Most parties tend to take a couple hours to get going, but that was not the case with this one. There were already at least 20 people there when I arrived. I had a few beers, mingled with several folks, and got the phone number of a super cute, small girl dressed as a sexy vampire. I was stuffing my face with pizza when I looked up at the clock and noticed it was 9. I had to be at work at 6 in the morning the next day, so I had to leave. I really didn't want to, so I was pretty mad. I stepped outside and took in a deep breath of crisp, cool, refreshing night air. The ruckus of laughter coming from inside the house was depressing me. I really wanted to be in there, but I had to get home and get some sleep. I was brooding outside the house when I saw him. He was a mammoth man. He must have been 6'5", and he wasn't just tall, he was wide and brawny. He was wearing dark pants and a tattered, torn sports jacket. His mask was a burlap sack with round holes hastily hacked out for eyes and a small slit for a mouth, and the burlap sack had been painted black. It was a scary costume. As he approached me, I gave him a polite nod. He did not acknowledge me or even gaze my way. He just strolled confidently into the house. There was something off about him. He just gave me a really bad vibe. I halfway felt I should go in and make sure he belonged there, but then I saw my buddy Davis walking toward the house dressed as a jester, and my train of thought shifted elsewhere. I think back at how mad I was that I had to leave early that night. In reality, having to work the next morning probably saved my life. Scarlett Moreland, dressed as a gypsy. As soon as the big man in the black mask entered the house, I had a lurking feeling that something was not right about him. It felt like he didn't belong there. Most people entering the party would immediately look around for someone they knew to talk to, or they would comment on people's costumes. This man did nothing of the sort. He wasn't interested in the other party guests. He stared ahead blankly and walked right past them. The man was huge. I didn't know anybody that big. I immediately pointed him out to my friend Alice, who was dressed as a green witch, and asked her if she had any idea who that was. She shook her head, but was more interested in complaining about what a stick-in-the-mud her date was. I watched as the big man walked around the house. He was looking around at everything like someone might if they were searching for a new home. Eventually, he ducked down a small corridor just off of the kitchen and opened the door to the basement. When he slowly descended the stairs, I thought I had it figured out. This guy was on drugs, and he was going down to the basement to do some more. I was into the drug scene back then, so I was totally up for going down there and getting a hit of whatever he was taking. I slowly started down the stairs and heard banging noises, like someone was tossing something heavy around. I bent down and saw the big man in the black mask stacking up old pieces of wood. He then grabbed a box of nails and a hammer from a work area. I wasn't sure what the man was doing, but it wasn't drugs, so I went back up to the party. I asked a few more people if they knew who he was, and nobody did. I lost interest once I found someone with some cocaine.
Felix Green, dressed as Tor Johnson.
I hate parties. I always have. I'd rather be at home reading a book. But the girl I was dating at the time, Alice, had a lot of friends going to this costume party, so she dragged me along. She showed up to my house dressed as a witch and was extremely disappointed when she saw that I was dressed casually with no costume. I tried to explain to her that there were always a few people at costume parties who were devoid of costumes. She swore this would not be the case with this party and insisted I dress up, so I grabbed an old Tor Johnson latex mask that I had since I was a kid. When we arrived at the costume party, the entire house reeked of marijuana. I don't do drugs or drink alcohol. I get high on life. So I was immediately appalled by the entire scene. Still, I made the rounds with Alice and played the role of the affable boyfriend. Once Alice was engrossed in conversation with some of her friends, I found a copy of J.D. Salinger's The Catcher in the Rye on a bookshelf and snuck into a quiet room to read. That's when I heard hammering. I exited the quiet room I was in and walked toward the source of the hammering. I found myself in the entrance of a mudroom at the rear of the house. There was a hulking man in scruffy clothes and wearing a raggedy black burlap sack over his head, nailing old planks of wood over the back door. When I asked him what he was doing, he stopped, slowly turned around, and stared at me. I could see his eyes through the jagged eye holes of the mask. His eyes were dark and unfriendly. I asked him again what he was doing, but he didn't respond. He just stared at me. Then he did the oddest thing. He cocked his head to the side, similar to that of a dog. At first, I thought he was just attempting to frighten me, but realized this was simply who he was. A towering, terrifying maniac of a man. I found myself breaking out in goosebumps and bolted from the room. I bumped into a cute petite girl who was dressed as a vampire. I warned her to stay away from the unnerving man in the back, but that only seemed to pique her curiosity and she did not heed my warning. I couldn't concern myself with the unwise vampire girl. I had to focus on what I could control, so I raced into the heart of the party, grabbed Alice by the arm, and forced her to leave with me. And while she was angered by my behavior that night, she wasn't the next morning when we found out what happened.
Willow Wagner, dressed as a vampire.
I'm not just short, I'm tiny. I'm a touch under 5 feet tall and weigh less than 100 pounds. Everyone thinks I'm cute, but I don't get approached by many men. So when the short man, dressed as a cowboy, struck up a conversation with me, I was flattered. His name was George. He's very nice, very funny, and can relate to my short person problems. Unfortunately, he had to work the next morning, so he had to leave the party early. I gave him my number and was looking forward to talking to him again. Later that evening, as I was heading toward the kitchen, a lanky man in a dress shirt and tan pants slammed into me. He was holding a paperback book in one hand and a classic Tor Johnson rubber mask in the other. He was clearly spooked and urgently warned me of an unsettling man who was barricading the back door. I knew the owner of the house. His name was Phil. I knew he did a lot of renovations on the house and doubted if he would be too keen on someone hammering on his back door, so I looked back over my shoulder to see if I could find him. He was dressed as Groucho Marx, so he'd be easy to spot, but I didn't see him, so I took it upon myself to investigate the strange happening. As I entered the kitchen, the giant man I was warned of stepped out of the back mudroom and methodically walked toward me. Hey, who are you? What are you doing to the back door? The man didn't answer me. He just cocked his head slightly as he crept closer. I wasn't going to play his mind games. I boldly proclaimed to him that I was going to tell Phil what he was doing. Before I could turn to exit the kitchen, the giant man wrapped his gorilla-like hand around my slender throat and pulled me forward while sinking a knife deep into my abdomen. I dropped to the floor and the room began to spin. I could see the giant man open the cabinets under the kitchen sink and angrily shove all the contents of the cabinet out onto the kitchen floor. He then easily picked me up with one hand, tossed me under the kitchen sink, and closed the cabinet. I blacked out seconds later. I woke up the next day in the hospital. Sweet George Mitchell, the short cowboy costumed man, was sitting by my bedside. The doctors assured us that I was going to be fine. The knife blade didn't slice through any major organs. I was the first victim, and one of the few who survived the Halloween massacre.
Davis Ellington, dressed as a jester.
I was bummed out when my friend George was leaving the party just as I was arriving, but I knew quite a few other people at the party, so I was sure it was still going to be a lot of fun. I was talking to the owner of the house, Phil, who was dressed up as Groucho Marx, when a very attractive woman caught my eye from across the room. She was tall and slender. She was dressed in a tight skeleton jumpsuit. Her face was painted as a skull, and she had long, flowing, sandy blonde hair. She reminded me a little of Farrah Fawcett, and that was going to be my ice-breaking line once I mustered up the courage to talk to her. Before I made my move, I wanted to go to the restroom, take off my goofy jester hat, and make sure my breath was spot on. While I was in the midst of combing my feathered hair, I heard a scream. And it wasn't a fun scream. It was a scream of terror. It was followed by subsequent screams and multiple people hollering, and it sounded like things were being thrown around. I raced toward the sound of the fracas and was shocked at what I discovered. There was a gargantuan man in the kitchen wielding two different blades. One appeared to be a kitchen knife and the other was some kind of a machete. There were already a few lifeless bodies on the floor. There was blood everywhere. The Goliath of a man had the owner of the house, Phil, by the throat and proceeded to lift him up off the ground before slamming him against the kitchen cabinet and pounding the knife into his chest. I immediately charged forward in an attempt to subdue the man. A few other guys joined me. We all converged on the psycho at the same time, and this man did not move an inch. It was equivalent to us trying to tackle a marble statue. It was unbelievable how solid he was. The massive beast of a man threw me off of him like a rag doll. As I began lifting myself off the ground, I witnessed him grab a very robust guy dressed as a hobo off the ground and snap his neck like a twig. A man dressed as a clown charged at him, and the black masked man simply spun around and slit his throat. That's when everyone started to run for the doors. I joined them. I wasn't going to challenge that immovable lunatic again. Something strange was happening. People were bolting toward the front and back doors, but they were all piling up. They weren't moving. We were all trapped like cattle. We were sitting ducks for the masked madman who was taking the opportunity to hack away at the stalled crowd. I wasn't going to wait around for the crazed freak to reach me. I grabbed a chair, hurled it through a window, and dove out of the house. I shredded up my arm in the process, but at least I survived the Halloween massacre.
Nora Bates, dressed as a skeleton.
My girlfriend Alice talked me into going to the costume party. I didn't know anybody else there besides her, so when her oddball boyfriend dragged her out of the house, I was on my own. I was considering calling it a night and leaving when I noticed an attractive man dressed as a jester gazing my way. We made eye contact a few times, and I swear I could feel chemistry without us ever having spoken a word to each other. I was hoping he'd come over and break the ice, but unfortunately, he abruptly turned and left the room. Maybe I wasn't feeling the correct aura after all. It was a moment later when the screaming began. I quickly moved closer to see what the commotion was about. At worst, I thought it would be a drunken scuffle. I was not expecting to witness a murder, but that's exactly what I saw. A strapping man in a disturbing black burlap sack was stabbing someone dressed as Groucho Marx in the chest. As the brave man dressed as a jester and several others attempted to overpower the murderer, I turned and ran for the front door, but I couldn't get out. The doorknob had been removed. I would need some kind of tool to finagle the mechanism to get the door to open, and I didn't have time for that, so I turned and ran upstairs. The upstairs was dark, and I entered the first room I saw. It was a bedroom, so I scurried underneath the bed and hid. I listened on at the horror that was taking place on the floor below me. Men and women were screaming. I could actually hear the slice and stabs that the maniacal killer was dishing out. After I heard the loud crash of glass shattering, the sound of the suffering crowd gradually dissipated. I assumed people were escaping out of broken windows. Within minutes, the house fell silent, with the exception of heavy footsteps, which I assumed to be of the cold-blooded killer. I had to cover my own mouth to keep from screaming when I heard the thudding footsteps start up the stairs. Why was he coming upstairs? My question was answered as I heard the sound of the doors being flung open. He was looking for any survivors who took refuge upstairs, like me. He plodded around for a few minutes, throwing doors open and slamming them shut, and then suddenly, the door to the room I was hiding in burst open. The door was broken open with such force that it actually ripped from the hinges. I held my breath. I knew if I made one peep, I was a goner. I could see the crazy man's heavy boots, which were painted red with blood and speckled with shards of shredded flesh. His breathing was something that nightmares are made of. It was raspy and loud. It was more of a growl than a breath. This was a beast. I don't know how I did it, but I remained still and silent until the monster of a man left the room. I dared not make a sound until I heard his footsteps stomp down the stairs and then out of the house. The night filled with sirens thereafter. I didn't come out from underneath the bed until the police found me.
November 1st. The lead detective of the case described the scene as a barbaric bloodbath. He was quoted as saying, "A wild, savage animal couldn't have done anything so brutal. My nightmares will always be overwhelmed by the memories
of this evil act of unspeakable violence. 13 people were killed during the Halloween massacre. 19 others were injured. The mysterious man responsible for the Halloween massacre was never captured, and to this day, his identity remains a mystery. We hope you enjoyed the show. We're dying for you to come back for more. Visit ManiacOnTheLoose.com. Sign up for our newsletter, and I'll give you some free stuff. We'll see you soon. Very soon.